could recite every single word in the Old Testament. Part of the weakness, in my opinion, of my own Christian walk is a serious lack of knowledge, heart knowledge, of the text, because I've committed so little of it to my heart. So I'm going to encourage you to think about memorizing about 6 verses a week that will relate either again to the week you just passed or the week that is coming. And you do what you want, but I think if you memorized it, you'd be glad you did, because it'll come out at a key point, I think, as what God will say to us at that point. So that's background, okay? Now, I've titled the session, The Land, the Culture, and the Book. The land, of course, is Israel. You'll not hear me refer to it to the Holy Land. I think it is holy, but the Bible says the whole earth is holy and belongs to the Lord. So Kalamazoo is holy, believe it or not, and as is Israel. That's the land. The culture, of course, is the culture of the people who lived there in biblical times, and the book is the Bible. Now, tonight, I'd like to look at 2 subjects. The first is I'm calling the Eastern Mind. Now, imagine if every day of your life, up till now, however old you are now, you had spent several hours standing out in that lobby, looking into this auditorium, just standing there. Every single day, 7 days a week. You couldn't have, because this isn't quite as old as some of us, I guess, but you know what I mean. You would be so familiar with this building that looking in that door, if somebody moved something like a microphone a few feet, you'd say, something's changed. I know it so well, I can see that something's moved. That's how well you would know it. Now, imagine if tonight I showed up and I said to you, come with me. We all walked around the outside. I don't even know exactly how to get there. And we came in the back here, and we stood in the back. And for the first time in your life, you looked into this auditorium from there instead of from there. Would it be the same auditorium? Of course. Nothing has changed. Would you see different things? Without question, you would, because your point of view would be different. Now, I'd like to suggest that's what I would pray God would enable me to enable you to do over these next 9 weeks, to look into the Bible from a somewhat different perspective than most of us are familiar with. Now, there may be some of you who are familiar with that approach, not because the Bible will be different, not because you saw it wrong before, but because I think there are some things you will see in it that you never noticed before. Because there are differing ways of looking at the book. Now, we live in a Western world. Let me skip this just in the interest of time. They told me I had till 10 after, but they didn't say what hour. So if you need to leave, you know where the doors are. If everybody leaves, I'm going to go talk to the wall. They do that in Jerusalem a lot, too. The Jews do. They stand and talk to a wall. So I'll do the same. Now, we live in a Western world. Bear with me, by the way. In future weeks, I hope to show you lots of visuals and take you to Israel as closely as I can and show you the land and the culture and the book in its setting. But I want to give you a little bit of foundation first for about 15 minutes. We live in a Western world. We are the descendants of the Greeks. The Greeks influenced the Western world and Europe through the European influence. North and South America were influenced, and our educational system, our way of looking at reality, is very Western. It's not bad. It's not wrong, but it's Western. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm going to oversimplify, and for you philosophy majors, you'll cringe a little bit because it's too oversimplified. But we like truth described abstractly. Let me show you what I say to my students. Maybe that will help you to know what I mean. If we study a frog in biology class in high school, the teacher goes out and catches a frog, brings him into the classroom, stretches out the little guy, staples his legs down to this wax thing, kills him first, I suppose, and then starts cutting him up and studies his heart and his stomach and his brain and his circulatory system, and we learn all about the frog. But he's not in the pond anymore. He's been abstracted out of his setting in order to understand him better. And that's how we tend to do. When we describe things, we describe truth. So we look at the Bible, we say, what does it say? And we put that truth into abstract statements, definitions. This is what we believe the Bible says. Propositions. systematic